This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement. And first things first, congratulations to Sheffield United, who after a magnificent season, perhaps ever so slightly overshadowed by Burnley, are back in the Premier League too. 6 months ago, this man's new team had similar hopes.
These boys start believing, start trusting me, start coming together a little bit more, and the trip to Stoke, I think, is going to be a good one for us.
We'll round up the best of the best of the annual EFL Awards.
I'm humbled, I'm proud, I'm honoured to get recognition for a career that, listen, as a five-year-old, I just wanted to play football. I wanted to score goals. I wanted to make people laugh, you know. And to be able to get recognition, listen, it's humbling.
And next season, the EFL will sparkle like Tinseltown.
At first, you stand back and you're like, me? Like, why would you want a photo with me? But obviously, with everything that's gone on at the club after the documentary and all the success we've had this season and playing as well as they have done, then that's only going to be natural, and they've just happened to be honest, they should be privileged to be in that position.
It's the official EFL podcast. Was there a more surprising result last weekend than in the Sky Bet Championship and Queen's Park Rangers inflicting a first home defeat of the season on champions-elect Burnley? It was only QPR's second win in 21 matches and a second in charge for Gareth Ainsworth. And in terms of the opposition, now this is a bit bittersweet, just to get this out of the way, Gareth, isn't it? Because on the one hand, as a Blackburn fan, you inflicted that defeat on the deadly rivals. On the other hand, mate, you handed it to them to go and seal the title at Ewood Park midweek.
Absolutely devastated, Clem. How are you doing, mate? It's nice to talk to you. But yeah, that was a real bittersweet moment. Honestly, all I can say is that I did my bit, Blackburn, and you let me down the other night because do you know what? The goal that Benson scored is identical to the one he scored against QPR. I can't believe they didn't know not to show him on his left foot. But it was a brilliant Saturday, absolutely brilliant. And the boys and the way, the nature of it all, Clem, was just superb. But yeah, on Tuesday evening, watching the Clarets invade Ewood Park and celebrate lifting the trophy wasn't nice for me, because I am a true Blackburn fan, been there years and years, and that's not a nice thing to see. But I'm sure that Blackburn will make the playoffs and can give a good count ourselves there.
Yeah, but you did. You are also at pains to stress that at least you prevented Blackburn having to give Burnley the guard of honour, which is traditional for any teams once they've won the title, that anybody they face thereafter in the remaining games have to stand there and applaud them on the pitch. So at least the Blackburn fans didn't have to do that at Ewood Park.
Do you think they would have done that? Do you think would Arsenal do it for Tottenham, or vice versa? You know.
Do you know what? Even through the bitterest rivalries of football, I still think some of those longer-term traditions remain. And if we start to strip them out just because of something as piffling as a little rivalry, then what is the game coming
to? Piffling? Come on, it's Burnley.
I did it to be provocative, mate. And actually, if we might just finish that chat, I love, of all the things that Vincent Kompany has done this season, and a lot of people are arguing they are the best team to grace the championship since it became that, and the rebranding of the second tier, I love the fact that even in his post-match, he was saying how proud he was of winning the title and everything, but also showed an implicit understanding of the Derby rivalries, which just goes to show how he's taken Burnley into his heart.
Yeah, I can understand that as well, as much as it pains me. But
enthusiasm, man. Come on, where's your energy? Where's your passion?
You know what? He didn't have a beer with me after the game. Craig Bellamy invited me in. I know Bellas from a long time ago. And Vincent was busy, obviously, with loads of press and everything. But the mark of the man is he sent me a text on Sunday morning saying, fantastic result, Gareth. Well played. Shame I didn't catch up with you. So massive respect for Vincent. Yeah, it's Burnley. I'll have to accept it. But we can move on now, Clem, and we can talk about other things.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. The atmosphere on the coach leaving Turf Moor I mean, after all the pressure, strain, scrutiny, poking with a big stick that you've had over the last few weeks, and we're not for one second saying that you're done that this season, but the sense of momentary relief and jubilation and joy must have been absolutely huge, was it not?
Yeah, honestly. Glenn, it was, I don't mind admitting this, but in all my management career, I think the days leading up to the Norwich game, so the game before Burnley, were probably the most pressure days I've had in management. I really saying that now, because this is QPR. This is a club that I came back to help. And I thought I'd get a bit of grace and the fans will be okay with me. But you know what? They care so much. It's their football club. It doesn't matter who's in charge. We've got to get the results. And after the defeat against Coventry, it was a bad game. That it was a bad day for us. And they suddenly sort of not turned against me, but the despair was felt. I felt the pressure. The lads were looking at me thinking, how are we going to get out of this? We dropped one place above the line. And I think that build up to the Norwich game, I was thinking we just lost 3-0 to Coventry. We, after a decent result at West Brom, it looked like we turned the corner again, just like we had at Watford a few weeks before. But no, it didn't happen and we lost again. And so that Norwich game at home, and it's Norwich, crying out loud, they're a decent side just off the players. So I'm thinking, what if we get beat here 4-0 tonight? What if something happens like that? I could be in some serious trouble. This is QPR. I know the passion that these football fans have is ridiculous. Wickham are great, right? Wickham are great, but they're not horrible when you lose and they're not incredible when you win. They're just fans who come down there and they get behind your team and, you know, they're quite... what you'd expect from Wickham fans, a lot sort of, you know, that they can accept not being the best. They can accept, as long as people try, that's it. QPR, oh my God, that they have this expectation. They want success. They've got these huge rivalries in London. And that really got to me, you know. And so a 1-1 against Norwich was a massive relief. Never mind a 2-1 against Burnley, but I didn't see that one coming. We prepared really well. I did a lot of... worked mentally on this game to go into this game and told the boys about how they may take a little bit of punishment for quite some time because they're the best team in the league by a mile. But wait for your opportunities, take your chances, wait for those moments. And they certainly did. And the nature of it now tells me that these boys start believing, start trusting me, start coming together a little bit more. And the trip to Stoke, I think, is going to be a good one for us.
Were the boys... having you until that win?
Do you know what? Half yes, half no. You've got in society, Clem, you've got boys who'll have anyone. They'll grab hold of you and go, you know what? I'll go for this. I'll go with this guy because he seems a good guy and a good... But some of them need a little bit more. Some of them need some success and some of them need some verification that what we're doing is right. It's not all, I come in with super energy. I come in with a different look. I'm different to a lot of managers. People know that. But you can't keep doing those things if you don't get results, if you don't back it up. And you can't fluke results either. You've got to tell the boys how they're going to get the results. And when it comes true and when they see it happening, they feel it happening, that's when you get them. And I said this to somebody yesterday. I had a meeting with a couple of our owners yesterday and they said, how's the squad? How's things? And I said, you know what? I said, when I walked in on the first day, I probably had two of them out of 25. I probably had two of them. And that's just because the people they are. You know, they'll invest into me and go, yes, I'm in, I'll do it. Like your soldiers, they'll be there. Yeah. I think yesterday I had a meeting with the boys after Burnley and we showed them what they'd done at Burnley. We showed them how they did it. And I looked around the room and I thought, you know what? I probably only haven't got two now. I've probably got everyone else except two, you know, and there's probably a couple who are always going to be like that. They take even more, a little bit skeptical and they're not playing at the moment. So they're probably just not 100% with me, but everyone else is. And the change, honestly, Clem, has been phenomenal. So I'd say the boys were having me as a person. They know I'm a good guy. They know I'm not an idiot and I've got their backs. But whether they were having me tactically as a football manager in the Championship remains to be seen. But I'm saying now, definitely, they saw something in me and my staff that we told them what was going to happen and it worked and it happened. And it was like, we've got them, we've grasped them. And it's tough, you know, it really is tough, but I'm really pleased that the nature of the win was the way it was and what we told them would happen and did happen and they took their moments and So now I can safely say I feel it. I feel it when I walk in the room. I've got boys, we're going to do this. And they're like, yes, we're going to do that. And that's a great place to be as a manager.
You said how different you were, very authentic, your appearance, your demeanor on the touchline and things. That stuff's being that genuine is good when things are going well. When things are not going well, people start to use being different a reason to have a sort of a jipe at you, if that is a word. did you in any way, was there any self-doubt in there? Did you suggesting you'd suddenly cut your hair off and stop wearing your leather jacket, but do you know what I mean? You're a human being that's had enormous success in the decade you spent at Wickham, but you find yourself on a much bigger stage at a club where you spent, was it 7 years or 8 years you spent?
About 7.5 years, yeah, right in the middle,
seven and a half years as a player. That must, in moments of weakness or sadness at the plight, cause you as a human being to occasionally question yourself, have I got that right? Could I compromise on some bit? No?
Yeah. So one of my big things, Clem, honestly, is staying consistent. It really is, because I think that just me, I'm not saying that everyone should do this, but it's like if you tell a lie, you've got to remember what your lies are, because they'll trip you up. So you can't, I don't think you can change. I don't think you can try and be something else or just try and accommodate something else, because your way is just not working at the moment. My big belief was keep being yourself, Gareth. And the amount of people, Clem, that text me, managers included, other managers, you know, and ex-managers, and who text me and said, keep being yourself, keep believing. It was too many of them just to not be a true statement. So, and I would do it anyway. I will stay consistent and I'll live and die. And I always have this saying that and everyone has this, if you can look in the mirror at the end of the day and say you gave everything, that's it. And if your best isn't good enough, then it doesn't matter, because that was your best. You know, we'll try and make your best better. We'll try and improve that best. But if that was your best, so I said to myself, stay consistent, Gareth. Don't start changing. Don't go anywhere else, because if they do come, you can't suddenly change back then. You can't go back to that person. You've got to stay that person that's come in the building straight away. And I always go back to, there's a Kipling poem, isn't there? The man one, where it's, if you can keep your head about you when all others around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. And I kept, honestly, and this is crazy to say, and people might say, oh, he's just saying that rubbish because he wants to be profound. I thought of that statement a couple of times and thought, you know, that's so true, you know, because everyone else was losing their head around me and they started to blame it on me. And I said, you know what, I'm going to stay above this. I'm going to stay above the parapet. I'll shoot the bullets at me, because I'm going to stay this person and I'm not going to change. And I'm so lucky, happy, relieved that we finally got that result, because I can go in tomorrow and be that same person that I was on that first day. And that's really important to me.
There is one other aspect to this, though, that I want to bring up with you. You did use the phrase damaged and fragile.
Oh, yeah.
And of the boys, that feels quite extreme. I'm not sure in the decade you spent at Wickham, you've taken us that far inside the dressing room and express those vulnerabilities. Maybe you did and I missed it, but that felt quite extreme to do that. There was obviously a reason for that, to take the pressure off them.
Yeah, to take the pressure off them and to let the outside world know. I'm not saying they're a mess, these boys. I'm saying they're great boys, but wow, the season they've had, they've been damaged, they've been fragile, and I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised, you know, and even the strongest ones, you know, and there is a couple of strong boys in there, you know, Chris Martin, but he's only been there a few weeks. Sam Field, you know, these are captains. Ilias Chair's been a long-term sort of in and out with injuries this season. Lyndon Dykes had his illness. These are strong boys in there, and they're leaders, you know, but even they were probably a little bit fragile, you know, because the majority of the group is young. I'm the fourth manager in charge this season, if you count Paul Hall's couple of games as caretaker manager. So that's four different styles of play, four different coaching techniques, four different personalities, and a run of games that, wow, you know, we bottom of the form table for 30 games ago, 25 games ago, 20 games ago, 10 games ago. I think, and you know, I don't want to pat myself on the back. The last five, we've finally come off the bottom of that table, you know, and started to climb the table a little bit. But they'd been battered. They'd really been battered. And it was a different club when I walked in. It was a different club to what I left back in 2010. And it is going to be, you know, the Premier League and a big change. And we've got this fantastic new training ground and lots of money to spend on players. But the feeling had gone, the something was missing there. And I am to really bring that back. And it's nobody's fault. It's no fault of anybody. People will all blame everyone else, individual. It just happens sometimes. But I intend to bring that back and bring that humility back to QPR because I think it's really important. But yeah, I felt for the boys. I really did. They were lower than a snake's belly, honestly, Clem. I've never known a morale like that when I walked in. Staff as well. But now, thankfully, everyone's starting to climb the ladder a little bit, and it's important we do that.
Yeah, well, I suppose the contrast was extenuated by the fact that they were top of the table and handed over that baton to Burnley back in October, which rather leads me to a question about the fine lines in football, because on the one hand, QPR's gone in one direction, but just those fine margins. I mean, I look at Chuba Akpom not even been allocated a Middlesbrough squad number at the start of the season.
Crazy.
That ends up with him being named the EFL's own Championship Player of the Year. I look at Ipswich Town, who have now won 12 out of 13 as they stand on the verge of promotion, but had a heck of a blip before that run where they only won 2 in 10. I look at Gillingham for the first half of the season before the new owner came in. There were some significant signings, but suddenly took themselves to safety with lots of games to spare. Sometimes, is there a force at work that we can't see, guys? those fine lines between an extreme low and an extreme high.
Yeah, it is really, really, it's really tough. It's really tough to sometimes work out why you do this and why teams do go through runs like this. There is reasons. There's going to be reasons why it happens. But it's the fine lines you talk about, Clem, are the moments. And that's why the top teams are the top teams. Your Man City's. The fine lines, they always stay the right side of that fine line, you know, and that's the key. That's the key. But it's such an array of things. It's not just the football. It's the mentality. It's so much, honestly, Clem. And we're in this country, it's brilliant because we have all these seasons. And when you start the season and it's August and all the sunshine, the pitches are fantastic. You've come out of pre-season, everyone's short sleeves, no one's wearing gloves in training, no one's wearing hats in training. Brilliant, you're there. And then this is what happens in this country. You go into the winter months, the pitches get muddier. You pick up injuries because the pitches have changed the feel of the pitches. Hamstrings come and calves come. And then you get into the winter months. You have a massive, ridiculous schedule over Christmas. We had the World Cup break this season as well, which I still think played a massive part in a lot of teams. What they did in the 4 weeks that they are off, I think is huge. I think that should be looked into, seeing which teams did what and what worked, because that might happen again. But then you come into January, February, and you're absolutely windy, up against it, rain, dark nights, horrible. And now we're just coming out the other side again, back into that start of the season bit. And that. So there's all these factors that come into it, and there's mental issues as well. There's transfer windows that come into things. It's all these factors that make you drop below that line. It's not just fine margins, but it's getting all these little bits right, I think. And we definitely didn't get it right at QPR, 100%. And people like Ipswich probably just put it right in the January window and look at them now and gone that way, you know. So, you know, it's all different, but it's football management. It's football. That's why everyone loves the game in this country. And I think it's brilliant. But being on the wrong end of it was a tough ask at the start of my QPR tenure.
Yeah. But just to return to, say, Chuba Akpom, as well, sometimes it's just environment, and then maybe a bit like life, one vital thing drops that stops the kind of meandering or stops the backwards momentum and sends it in the other direction. And then circumstances build and build. And before you know it, you're having the year of your life.
A little bit of belief, Clem, honestly. Everyone's different. I mentioned a couple of players before. They probably wouldn't change. I said they would, because I consider myself mentally as strong as anyone. But when John Beck put his belief into me after I'd had my 3 years of here, there and everywhere, and John Beck went, I know what I'm going to work on with you. I'm going to work on your strengths. I'm going to make you this. I'm going to do that. The actual belief that you get from somebody is so important. And if Tuba Akpom has had belief put in him from Michael Carrick and just gone, you know, even saying, what the hell are you doing in the reserves? Get in here. You're a first team. You're playing. Just that. And he scores, and then he scores again. And it's like, yeah, this mental side of the game for me is enormous. It's the biggest side of the game. And believing someone can be so, so powerful.
Yeah. For the younger listeners to the official EFL podcast or viewers, John Beck was Gareth's manager at Preston during the ice age of football, many
and centuries. Cambridge and Lincoln. I signed for him 3 times. Like
my Lord. Well, I was having to think on the spot because obviously our guests, I never quite know what they're going to say about who. So the little cogs were whirring and I was trying to put two and two together, but you have dotted and crossed that particular equation. Your Sky Bet Championship fixtures this coming weekend. Need to tell you that obviously we do have games on every single day of the week. So we're at the time we're recording this, we don't know the outcome of the Rotherham Cardiff game. But Friday night, Blackpool picked up 2 wins in 3, but still in 23rd. They entertain Millwall, one of the playoff chasers, but just one league win in their last 7. In fact, 3 defeats in 4. Then on Saturday, Burnley, the champions, go to Bristol City. Coventry, what a season they have had. 1 win in their first 10, remember, when they had all the problems with the pitch. They've won just about half their games since. Swansea as well. If you're talking about ridiculous form, listen to this. 1 league win in their first 7, then 5 out of the next 6, then 5 in the next 24, and then suddenly out of nowhere, Russ Martin's team have produced 6 wins in 7, so they're in the mix there as well. We've got 2 of the bottom 3 playing each other, Reading in 22nd place, bottom club, Wigan, who've now won their last 2. Preston, another one of the playoff chasers, go to Sheffield United. Gareth's QPR are at Stoke, and then more news of playoff chasers. Sunderland at home to Watford. 2 of the playoff chasers play each other in the late kickoff on Saturday. That's West Brom against Norwich. Then 2 of the relegation battlers play each other on Sunday. That is Cardiff against Huddersfield. And then we've got 2 games on May Day. Rotherham against Middlesbrough is a sort of bottom end, the top end clash. And then 2 more of the playoff chasers, Blackburn and Luton, play each other. How does it feel, Gaz, to live with the constant pressure, regardless of which end of the table you are at, the hopes and dreams of a whole community resting on your shoulders, constantly being questioned, you know, desperately trying to keep a team up or desperately trying to get them out the top end of a table? How does a manager live with that strain and pressure?
It's tough, Clem. It is tough, you know, and I've seen it intensified. So for anyone who wants to know, the higher up you go, does it become tougher? I think so, yeah. I think so I never used to think, well, you know, could Mourinho come and manage Wickham and get the same results? The pressures are so different. The pressures are so, so different, honestly. I think that the higher you go up, the more profile there is, the more pressure there is. So I massively respect these Premier League managers. Huge, huge respect for them, because the pressure does intensify. The money intensifies and the fan base is intensifying, the profile and the public image of all the... So it's huge. It really is huge. So living with it, Clem, just having things away from football has helped me. You know, the music's big, obviously, for me. Everyone knows that. It's not a secret anymore that I'm a big lover of my music and putting a song on. And people will probably, you know, identify with this. You put a song on from anywhere in your life, from any decade in your life, and it'll take you back there and you remember the good times. And that can really help at times. My three children, realizing what's important in life and perspective as well. You know, for me, talking to people who aren't in football, being mates with people who aren't footballers, who aren't football managers, going out. I go out on a Saturday night sometimes. And by the way, somebody took a video of me the other week and posted it on Twitter, and I got dogs abuse for being out after a loss. And that was my mate's 50th birthday. But that comes with the job. But my mate was a landscape gardener. My other mate works as a regional manager for Tesco's and things like that. So these people, mixing with these people, for me, is so important. It really is, you know, and they don't expect anything from me. I don't expect anything from them. We'll have a round each in the pub. We'll have a laugh. We'll have a chat about normal life. And I'd say that for me is really important, not mixing with just old football people and people who football is their life. I've got friends who are friends with me because of me and my personality, not because of who I am. And I think that's big for me as well.
Yeah. The notion that a football manager who's going through a tough time would be better off locking himself in a darkened room with no other influences and would be able to find a solution in those circumstances is clearly ludicrous. Football managers are human beings, folks, exactly, who have the whole infrastructure of life just like you and I do, and they deserve to have that release occasionally and in moderation, as Gareth has just described. Your fixtures in Sky Bet League One this coming weekend, these are all Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoffs. Two of the bottom four going head-to-head as Accrington take on Cambridge. Fifth place Bolton at home to Fleetwood. Sixth place Derby entertain Portsmouth. Oxford United, just above the relegation zone, got their first league win in 18 matches. They've been on their worst winless run since the late 1980s is midweek as they head to Forest Green. I'm rather relieved about that. I'm hosting their end of season dinner this coming weekend, and that was said to be a challenge to say the least. So, I mean, no offence to the opposition that Oxford beat, but my evening may get slightly easier. Congratulations to Ipswich, 12 league wins in 13. If they beat Exeter, they are back in the Championship. MK Dons, 2 points above the relegation zone, entertain fourth place Barnsley. Morecambe are the team just below MK Dons. Two consecutive wins after 10 without, there at home to Lincoln. Peterborough, 2 points off the playoffs, entertain Bristol Rovers. Congrats as well to Plymouth, who know if they beat Burton, they will be back in the second tier for the first time since 2009-10. Sheffield Wednesday have won 3 of their last 4 are at Shrewsbury. Those two managers, Stephen Schumacher and Kieran McKenna, are just, I mean, you've been there. You know, with your promotions, you're so close. All you have to do is keep on keeping on, and yet that prize is so far away. Yeah, I mean, you must be thinking about the field of all possibilities, Gaz.
Yeah. Anyone who says they totally just focus on what they're doing, honestly, it's just not possible. It's not possible. You know all the permutations. You know what can happen. And I remember our promotion from 2-1 at Chesterfield. I had the scores constantly coming at me all game. You know what I mean? It's impossible not to have them, you know? And so, yes, focus on what you're doing, but you know, it's over 46 games, you know, it's not this one game that counts. You've done so well and you've done so much to get here. You know, you might get a helping hand here and there. But as you say, those two guys, you know, I think for me, well, they're both of them, aren't they? Because Schumacher has done it when everyone else thought he'd fall away, especially when they lost Cooper, you know, the keeper who's been phenomenal this season. You know, they lost him.
100%, yeah.
I think everyone's been saying they'll fall away. That must have been horrible to contend with. Everyone believing you'll fall away, but you've still done it. So fair play to Stephen. And then Kieran, who's, you know, let's be honest, has spent quite a bit of money, more than a lot, but justifiably now. You know, he's up there. And I feel for Darren Moore because he's done a hell of a job. You know, I think they've got maybe 90 points, is it? And they still may not get promoted. And it's 90 or 80, I I can't remember now.
Yeah, as things stand then, and everybody's played 44 games now, we've got Plymouth on 95, then Ipswich on 94, then there's a four-point gap to Sheffield on 90, Barnsley 90 on 85. Points. I mean, 90 points. And
two games to go, and you might not get promoted. That is insane, honestly.
Yeah, but consistency has been the word. Sheffield Wednesday with their club record unbeaten run. However much money Ipswich have spent, if they manage to achieve 13 wins in 14 matches with one to go, I mean, that doesn't happen often. And as you quite rightly say, I just keep looking at Stevie Schumacher, and sometimes they get themselves in a fix with 10 minutes to go in a game, and my head goes, yeah, this is the one where some of us cynics are thinking. And then I find myself having to text him to say, your team are like a dog with a bone. You will, and another dog, bigger dog down the road, is trying to nick it off the little chihuahua, and it's just got its gnashers stuck into the marrow and is sucking the living daylights out of it. And it's in their house like that, and they can't actually get the horn out, and they just suck it and hang on to it. Phenomenal. Of course, it's not over yet. And I have used the word congratulations with regard to those two teams. I mean it in the context of one more win will get you over the line. We might see changes yet. Sky Bet League Two fixtures this coming weekend. Carlisle in fifth v Salford in sixth. That could be a playoff game in a couple of weeks' time. Crawley need a point to assure their safety as they take on Walsall. Commiserations to Hartlepool. Two seasons back from the National League, but looking ominously as though they will be heading down into the fifth tier over the next couple of games. The champions, Leyton Orient, entertain Stockport, who are currently 4 points off an automatic promotion place. Mansfield, just outside the playoff places, on goal difference, entertain Harrogate. Northampton know if they can beat seventh place Bradford, then they will secure League Two promotion for the third time in 8 years. Stevenage 2 know a win against Grimsby will send them back up to League One. But we must send our commiserations, Gaz, to Rochdale. 102 years of EFL history, relegated last weekend. And I kind of look at that cluster of clubs of Macclesfield Town, Bury, Oldham Athletic, now Rochdale. That is a decimation of a football. Well, don't geography people, don't take me to task if I use the word valley, but you know, in my head, they all fit in a little sort of
that's where I'm from, run of clubs. That's where I'm from, up that way, you know, and that is unbelievable, you know, to know that probably a couple of founders of the Football League in there as well. It's just unthinkable of what's happened. And then I look at the National League the other day, Scunthorpe, Yeovil and Torquay all look like they've gone from the conference now. And that they're all actual league teams, you know, within 10 years, they've all been in the league, and that's just proving what's happening, you know, and it's so tough to contend.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we do embrace the new blood that comes through. People bring new methodology, people not stuck to the way stuff that was done two, three, four decades ago, half a century ago. So you see a club like, I don't know, Burton Albion, who consolidate their position in the second tier. I mean, if you went back quarter of a century, 30 years, you could include Wickham Wanderers in that. It's the story of life, isn't it? Great dynasties peak and then come back down the other side, but trying to stay there, nobody's got a God-given right.
No, it's true. And people in their 20s, Clem, not like old fogies like me and you, won't even have remembered an Oldham or a Yeovil anywhere near the league anyway. They'll be thinking, well, they've always been down there. But, you know, Yeovil with Championship and Oldham, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they were in the first ever Premier League, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Twice reached the FA Cup semi-finals in the around that same time as well. So listen, I not in any way wishing to be unsympathetic to any club that is on hard times at the moment, but I was just trying to be fair to those that had come in the opposite direction. Now listen, just before we finish off talking about QPR, we do need to talk. I like a little chat about me music, and you do have an album in the pipes, but you're kind of sitting on the release of it because you want to make it absolutely clear to people it's been recorded a little while now. You've not been taking time off from trying to keep QPR in the Sky Bet Championship, but you are looking forward to when it gets released, probably in July.
Well, Saturday after the game, we can release it as long as we survive. So, I mean, it's unbelievable, this. So at Wickham, the aforementioned Cherry Red Records have put an album together for us, 11 original songs, and myself and the band have always been in, changed its name a few times, but now the Cold Blooded.
So Cherry Red were one of the sponsors at Wickham Wanderers.
Just the main shirt sponsor. I think they sponsor the stadium at Wimbledon as well. Very, very into their football, you know, Cherry Red Records. So they've funded the album. And do you know what? We finished it in late January, all done, all finished, all ready to go, really getting ready, ramping up, going to release it. Wickham, yeah, it didn't matter when we released it at Wickham. Everything's gone rosy there. Playoffs would have been brilliant. Championship, fantastic. I get the QPR job. Everything goes on hold because I'm in a relegation battle. What kind of character releases an album while they're in a relegation battle? Not me, I tell you that. So guitarist is going mental. He wants some cash back on his investment. The Cherry Red Records are being very good about it all. But honestly, the moment we can secure this championship status, that's another big thing for me, is getting this album out, which has been finished for months. But obviously, I respect everyone. I don't want anyone thinking I was concentrating on that and not getting the 3 points, especially at Stoke on Saturday. So hopefully, the cold light of day, I think the album's called. Well, I know the album's called.
I hope so. It's your album. I'm sure you titled it, so listen, you don't know.
Those are the words there. The Cold Blooded Hearts, and that'll be coming out soon. So hopefully it'll do well. But I know you're a big music man yourself, Clem, so I will take your listening opinion very seriously when you get to listen to that.
Oh, my Lord, no pressure there. Mate, I mean, you've gone a long way with the way to staying up, with the way in which teams down the bottom have been taking points off each other. I guess you just want to secure safety, as you've intimated, and then you can start, A, making sure the club's not in this situation again, and B, have you got a template in mind that might see the club prosper more consistently at the other end of the Sky Bet Championship table?
Yeah, 100%. Clem, you know, I've got three plans, all time based, and the short term is survive. The midterm, honestly, and I'll say this in the greatest respect to every QPR fan who thinks that we should be back in the Premier League, we need to stabilise this club. There's some things behind the scenes that need sorting out. There's a lot it's got just a little bit away from what this club should be for me, and I aim to. With the help of Les Ferdinand, who's been nothing but support to me since I've walked in the door, and the owners, I just think it just needs that little bit of identity back. And I want to bring that. And there's ways to do it. There's ways I will do it. And, you know, it might not be popular with everyone, but I'm going to do this because this is the way I believe it should be done. And I had a great grounding at Wickham. Nothing like QPR, I know that. But I think the running of a club can be similar, just on a bigger scale. And then long term, I want to get this club touching, and not just this club. I want to have a go. I want to get to the right end of the championship and start going, right, this Premier League, this golden fleece that everyone talks about, is it possible? Is it possible for a club like QPR to get back there? Because at the moment, it seems like a million miles away. And if I was a foreign manager, maybe I'll have a chance of managing the Premier League. But the only way I think I can ever manage in the Premier League is by taking a team up into the Premier League. And I'd love to do that one day with QPR. A lot of work to do first. Firstly, let's stay in the Championship.
As always, we appreciate your honesty. Thanks for joining us on the official EFL podcast.
Thanks, Clem. Really, real pleasure to talk to you. Always, mate. And you've always been a great support. So thank you.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Last weekend, the 2023 annual EFL Awards took place. They recognise outstanding achievements amongst the players, managers and staff across the Football League's 72 clubs. We're going to hear now from some of the winners, starting with Middlesbrough's Chuba Akpom, who was asked what it felt like to be named Championship Player of the Season.
You know, at the beginning of the season, I wasn't sure what I was doing here, and then I started playing, I got injured, missed 7 games, and that was difficult as well. So, ever since I come back from injury, I just tried to push as hard as I can And the gaffer's come in at the perfect timing and he's just taken my game to another level. So I've got to say thank you to my teammates as well. I couldn't do it without them, you know. They've been there with me every step of the way. Little did I know it would work out like this, like just everything, you know, getting on the ball in a half turn, roaming around, finding the pockets. And once again, I've got to say a big thank you to the gaffer because he's just let me play as I want to play and come deep and get on the ball and express myself. So it's been amazing.
What a remarkable year Tubor Akpom has had. And so too the Burnley manager, Vincent Kompany. Here he is shortly after being named Championship Manager of the Season.
Yeah, it's a tremendous privilege, first of all. And I said the big difference between being a player and a manager is that you feel as a manager that you owe it even more to the people you work with, you know, players, staff, family, you know. It's just been tough, and I think the results have hidden a little bit the fact that it's actually been a very tough season for us, you know. We've had to grind results, we've had to deal with the grueling fixture list of the championship, sorry, and yeah, it's taken a lot of mental resilience, stamina in our character, and to be promoted, and then with all the ambition to try and be champion this season, it's been a special season.
The awards don't just recognise this season, but also those who've left their mark on football in general. The prestigious Sir Tom Finney Award is presented to a player who's had an outstanding career and contributed an exceptional amount to the EFL. This year, it went to a man who I think it's fair to say is never short of a word or two, Adebayo Akinfenwa, who halfway through his post-award interview was gate-crashed by the man we've just been talking to, Bayo's former manager at Wycombe Wanderers, Gareth Ainsworth.
And it's humbling. I was saying my brother got me on forced pre-sentence. I thought I was giving out an award. And then until I saw the gaffer get up, it all aligned and I realised what was happening. But listen, it's humbled. I'm humbled, I'm proud, I'm honoured to get recognition for a career that, listen, as a five-year-old, I just wanted to play football. I wanted to score goals. I wanted to make people laugh, you know. And to be able to get recognition, listen, it's humbling. I use this word a lot, mind-boggling. I use this word, humbling. And for me, I think I take the biggest solace I take from this is I always say that I am very unapologetically myself, so I've done it my way, I've done it me. I always say any interaction that people have with me, I'll try and be as authentic as possible. And that's where it is. So with the past,
asking me to walk in, but he never runs out of words. Continues talking. So they're saying, gaffer, get in there, and I'm saying I can't, he never shows up. The one thing I've got against him is, like, at Wembley, no one remembers this, right? All the great day and all the great crowd and thing. You called my boots whack. I don't even know what that means today.
Listen,
right?
I've said it a few more times. They be arsing, like, our relationship. I said the only chink in your armour is your leather jacket and your whack boots.
At least he tells the truth. No, it was truthful too. But we had some proper discussions in that office, you know. I remember discussions.
Listen, when you're talking about, for me, it couldn't have been any perfect. It couldn't have been, the stars couldn't have aligned any better for this man to give me this award. I was lucky enough, and I say this, I was lucky enough to work under his tutelage. That's a big boy word. I thought, it's a big boy word, yeah?
Say no.
I'm a pundit now. But nah, listen, all jokes aside, we was meant to, our faith is strong, and we was meant to work. We played against each other, and we was meant to work together, and what we achieved.
There's always that respect.
Yeah.
What
I learned.
Even I didn't realise it would be that good.
I thought I'd have two good years with him. He got four extra on that, so that was 6 years.
That was a two-hour drive from South London every day.
I'm telling
as well,
you, not many people can make me do that.
Monday's off. That was the secret, all right?
He did move training back half an hour for me as well, so he was very accommodating.
Congrats.
But no, I'm blessed, and thank you, man.
Brilliant,
thank you.
Brilliant.
Thank you for this as well. Thank you.
And finally, can there be a more fitting recipient of this year's outstanding contribution to League Football Award than the ever popular Chris Kamara, who was asked what the EFL means to him?
Well, it's where I started my football, you know, at Portsmouth, 74-75 season. Great, you know, I continued. Obviously, I played Premier League for a few years, but ended up back in the EFL with Bradford, and I wouldn't change anything for the world. I can't believe the trophies that are coming my way at the moment. It's, you know, not sure I deserve them, but thank you for everyone who keeps giving me them, because it's, you know, I'm still shaking, yeah.
And it goes without saying, our congratulations to Cammy on his wonderful legacy. If you'd like to see a full list of winners of the 2023 EFL Awards, it's at www.efl.com.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Just in case it has escaped your attention, 15 years to the day since a 2-0 defeat at Hereford committed Wrexham to the same number of seasons in the National League, they are back. To much Hollywood razzmatazz, and thanks to the 47 goals, 38 in the league this season, of Paul Mullen. Do you know what I love? I love loads of aspects of this story, Paul, but then I kind of look at Morecambe, Swindon, Tranmere, Cambridge United. And then suddenly you just, I mean, it's been a life changer for you, hasn't it? What's everything that's happened at Wrexham?
Not so much my life has changed. My life's very much the same. It's just what I enjoy most, still sitting on the couch with my little lad. But I suppose the whole attention and the media spotlight and pressure, I suppose, has all been ramped up by 1,000 times, I suppose. But my life hasn't changed. I just try to take to it like a duck to water, and just take the punches as they come and roll with it.
Yeah. Well, you've hinted at some of the downsides there. I mean, the very fact that there is constantly a camera being stuck in your face, the world is talking about this football club, that has put extra pressure on you guys as players, has it? Because that goal haul suggests you just do what you love doing, which is putting the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, obviously it's a great thing for the club and even for us as individuals to have the attention we've received this year. And obviously, if you're not playing well, that attention isn't going to come. So first and foremost, you have to play well in order to achieve it. But yeah, it's added pressure, obviously. Everybody's talking about us every day. It's on the news, and no more than myself. It's been FA Cup games of been around me and speaking about me, which puts added pressure going into those games. And then you've obviously got everyone saying, oh, are they going to do it? Are they going to fall away? Like, is the pressure going to get to them? And obviously the owners being the owners, they like to build up a bit of suspense. So they'll be tweeting, oh, like, we're top of the league, things like that. Obviously, of course, it adds loads of pressure, but not more so than the fans. You know, they've been out of the league 15 years and they're coming the game wanting to win, wanting to get promoted so badly that sometimes you can feel the nerves coming off them while you're playing. And that wasn't the case on the last day of this, in the last game when we won the league. You know, we went one down after 30 seconds and the whole stadium's erupted in voice and singing for us, telling us we're going to win the league. And obviously in the end that night we managed to repay them. But I think pressure's a good thing. If you don't have pressure in your job, then you're not doing the right job or you're not doing it correctly. So it's something that we enjoy doing, working under the pressure. But as I say, if it was a choice to have less pressure and do the same job, obviously some people would like that, but I prefer it the other way, because if you've got pressure, then you're doing something right.
Has the glamour in any way changed your perceptions of yourself?
No, not at all. I'm just me, stick to being me, and what you see is what you get. That's just me as a person, and I don't think I'd ever change for anything. Obviously, it becomes a little bit strange at first, getting used to when you walk into a shop or a supermarket or walk into a shop in the town centre to get something for the baby, and people ask for photos and things. But I'm privileged that someone had asked me for a photo. At first, you stand back and you're like, me? Why would you want a photo with me? But obviously, with everything that's gone on at the club after the documentary and all the success we've had this season and playing as well as I have done, then that's only going to be natural. And it just, to be honest, I should be privileged to be in that position.
Yeah. Have there been any kind of loggerhead moments where you've got the kind of traditional football world of, say, Phil Parkinson and you guys, and then suddenly, you know, you turn up one day and there's film crew wandering about in intrusive places. I mean, have there been moments where both parties have had to compromise? Has there been any kind of little battles along the way? I think in one of the episodes of Welcome to Wrexham I watched, somebody went, oh, for goodness sake, I think it was the physio, I can't do what I need to do and stuff like that. Has there been a meeting of minds somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, that was Kev. He's the head of performance. But as I say, he wants everything done properly. His job is basically to make sure...
As he should, Paul.
Exactly. It's his job to get us in prime condition to play the games. And if he feels something's going to get in the way of that, then he's got every right to voice his concerns. But as I say, there's a lot of things that happen, but we get used to it as players. We roll with it. But I would like to say the gaffer's been unbelievable in dealing with it. Like the stuff he has had to deal with. There was a time this season when the King came to visit the stadium the day before a long away trip to Eastleigh. And obviously the lads done that. And the gaffer would much prefer to just go treat the game as usual. But he's so good at dealing with those situations and helping the lads out with it as well and try to make everything as seamless as possible. That's no problem. We'll just do that, lads, and we'll then be on our way. And I think we've all handled that unbelievably. I think that's what I'm most proud about, the lads and myself, is everything that's gone on at the club. We haven't let it affect us and it's only made us perform better. And obviously that's thanks to Kev, as you say there, making sure everything's done right, but the gaffer also, because he's kept us all knowing that the main job is on the football pitch.
He looked very emotional, did the gaffer. I don't know if you've watched any of the footage back, but he looked very emotional in the immediate aftermath of the final whistle and the initial celebrations. He also looked absolutely exhausted and knackered. I mean, is that something you've all felt? When you know you've done it, the body just subconsciously starts to relax.
Yeah, I think when the whole stadium's emotional, it's hard for you as an individual not to become emotional. I was myself, to see the happiness on people's faces. What we'd just given them is something that you can't buy anywhere. And obviously being the manager of the team, the one leading us, he fears that even more so. The gaffer lives around the Wrexham area, so he sees fans every day. And we knew what it meant to them, never mind the pressure from elsewhere. That's all normal in football. But we knew what it meant to the people of Wrexham to get promoted and to be able to deliver them. It was emotional. And as I say, you see the smiles and happiness on the face, the tears in their eyes as they're celebrating that they've wanted this moment for so long. And we were the people to be able to give them that. Like, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, we have managed to get through about 6.5 minutes of this chat without mentioning the names of Rob. I'm going to go from McElhenney. Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah, good. And Ryan Reynolds, obviously. I mean, even from afar, are they constantly interacting with you? You'll be in the middle of eating your dinner one night and there'll be something drops, a little bit of encouragement or some sort of message from one of them or the other?
Yeah, they genuinely care. Like, it's not a facade. It's not fake for the television. It's nothing like that. It's genuinely, they are the most genuine owners I've ever seen at a football club. As I say, they'll text and ask how the family are. They'll ask how you are. They'll ask how you're feeling going into the next game and general chit-chat also, just to keep in touch. And obviously they understand that they need to, well, they feel that they need to be accessible to the players and be able to communicate with them. Because as I say, them being big superstars at first, sometimes people may be overawed by it or whatever, but they make everything and make you feel so comfortable that it's just not a problem. It's just, they are like a human being like everybody else, but people perceive them differently and they're not. And it's just the most genuine people ever who have been really successful, and they want to be successful in this venture as well. So they're going to give it everything they've got to ensure that happens. And as I say, if that's keeping in touch with the lads to get the best out of them, then brilliant. But I think they do it because they genuinely care how people are.
Paul, were you a little bit cynical at first? I mean, you know, respectful and honoured to be approached to join the club. But were you a little bit not sure about this, and they kind of had to win you over in those initial negotiations and discussions?
They had to win me over in terms of what the plans were with the club. I had to buy into that. I had to believe what they were telling me, and every single thing they promised me and told me, they've stuck to, which has obviously been unbelievable. But when I signed for the club, I said at the time, first interview, I wanted to be excited going into work every day. And still to this day, 2 years later, I can't wait to go in. I've had a couple of days off after winning the league. I can't wait to get back and see what happens next week. It's unbelievable. I absolutely love it. obviously I want to play as high as I can in football, as it like anyone does. But when this opportunity arose last time, it was the best for me as a family man who wants to be close to home and be near his son every night. It was the perfect solution for me, rather than moving away to play in higher leagues. I care more about my son than that. But obviously I'd love to play as high as possible in my time in football. And if that's at Wrexham, then unbelievable. It honestly is the best club I've ever been at.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you've had highs in your playing career before, but it just feels on this occasion you've just kind of, you've relit a whole community. It almost feels like it's transcended, you know, 46 games of 90 minutes. It just seems to have permeated out across a much wider area of North Wales.
Yeah, obviously the documentaries raised the profile of the club enormously, but if we're not kidding ourselves, this club had 20,000 fans years ago coming to watch games when the videos of the cop that was built at the time is full, the whole stadium's full. They've never been short of spectators and fans who really get behind the club. They just needed that little help being reintegrated to the club in terms of the feeling they have for it. Obviously, when the old owner was in and he was asset stripping the club, then why are the fans going to go and give them money for him to take out of it? It ain't going to work like that. Obviously, when everyone's excited, it's going to be a lot easier to sell the place out, but the club's got so much support and always has done. And now everyone just keeps adding to that, and it's impossible to get tickets, and that's down to the people of Wrexham, because the people who do come over, they can't get them. It's an unbelievable club, as I say. It's special, and to give them that moment on Saturday night was what I've worked for 2 years, and I was taken back by it, to be honest. The support I've had's been phenomenal.
Listen, I know you love being with the wee man. You've already mentioned that in the course of the interview, but little bit of a celebration with the boys on Saturday night before you started to do the family celebrations, or was it a lot longer with the team? Did it get messy? Were you all still up and on Sunday morning?
It didn't get too messy. It was unbelievable, to be fair. We had a great night. We had the families all together afterwards with the players and obviously the owner and the management staff and that, and we had a party at the club, and that went on till all hours. I ended up on a physio bed having a sleep for 20 minutes. Before I got woke up by the assistant coming in singing me song. So then that was the end of that. It was back to drinking a coffee and trying to sort myself out that way. But the next day we got together just as a squad, as a whole team, and had a bite to eat and some drinks and stayed out for the whole of that day. And then I left, to be fair, before anyone else, just to get back and see the little man, because I had stuff on the next day. And I realised, luckily enough, we've still got a couple of weeks to celebrate, so we're going to make the most of it, and we can absolutely milk it.
Yeah. Are they getting you over to Hollywood or anything, rather than Terra Molinos or something this year? Is that, are the boys going away for a trip?
I'll have to keep that a secret, I think.
But it's a secret? Do you know where you're going?
They are taking us away. I'm not 100% sure where yet, though. We haven't booked anything, but I'm pretty sure it'll be a special occasion, no matter where we go.
I love how unaffected you are just sitting chatting to you. Most importantly of all, you're going to get a bit of a rest now once you've tidied up your football loose ends, got your plan to stay in check for the summer and everything's been sorted. Are you going to get the three of you away for a little bit of a break? You're going to get holiday?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got one game left this weekend, and then I'll have a little bit of time celebrating the season we've just been through. But I can't wait just to take the little man away in the summer. I'm going to go to Portugal and spend the most of June there, and it'd be lovely just to see him relax every day, and we don't have to stress about going to school and teaching him new things, and we can just enjoy swimming every day, which is one of his favourite activities. So to be honest, I've waited for that moment since the last time we went away last summer.
Yeah, brilliant. And in the meantime, from August onwards, you've got life back in the EFL to look forward to, Paul.
Oh, absolutely. Welcome back. It took one year longer than I thought it was going to, but I'm looking forward to it. It's another challenge, and we want to go and give it our best in League 2 as well, and hopefully try to get out of that league. You know, it's not going to be easy. We've all been there before. It's a difficult league, but we're full of confidence at the minute, and there's no reason why we don't believe we can go and do it again.
Congratulations. Enjoy the summer. Give our love to Rob and Ryan, won't you?
Thank you, mate. Cheers.
That is it for this episode. A big thank you to Paul Mullin, Gareth Ainsworth, and congratulations to all our EFL Award winners. If you've enjoyed this episode, then please do give us a 5-star rating, press the subscribe button, and share on your socials if you'd like to get in touch. Our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. I'm Mark Clement. Join us again soon for another episode of
The Official EFL Podcast.